You know how you can look at the weather app on your phone and the algorithm is just so confident. Like it tells you there's a 0% chance of rain, sunny skies, perfectly clear.
Right.
But you are currently standing in your own driveway getting absolutely pelted by, golf ball sized hail.
Yeah, it really highlights this complete disconnect between an algorithm's aggregate data and just immediate physical reality. I mean, a model looking at a 50-mile radius might register a completely calm day, right? But the microcell hovering directly over your actual house is causing thousands of dollars in damage.
Exactly. And that bizarre sort of split screen reality where the big picture says everything is perfectly fine while the reality on the ground is completely chaotic. That is the central theme of our deep dive
And
today.
really is everywhere right now.
Yeah, so we are looking at this incredibly comprehensive 30-page insurance industry digest that was published in the summer of 2026. And look, I know a 30-page insurance digest might sound like something you read to cure insomnia.
It's definitely dense material.
It is. But our mission today is to extract the most crucial, surprising, and honestly wallet-impacting nuggets from this report. Because this document serves as a remarkably accurate crystal ball for your personal finances, your business liabilities, and just your everyday risks. And the headlines we're looking at are completely contradictory.
Oh, absolutely. The current insurance market is basically functioning as a master class in the law of unintended consequences. We're looking at an industry that is simultaneously celebrating some of its most historic financial wins in a decade, while, and this is the scary part, quietly burying some incredibly severe red flags deep in the fine print of everyday policies.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because on page one, the executive summary shows the global property and casualty industry is just incredibly healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, they just posted $61.2 billion in underwriting income for 2025.
Which is massive.
Right. And just to ground that in the industry's favorite metric, they posted a combined ratio of 93. So for anyone outside the industry, that basically means for every dollar an insurer collects in premiums, they're only spending 93 cents on claims and operational expenses.
Yeah, a 7-cent profit margin across a multi-trillion-dollar global market is just, it's a huge windfall.
And consumers are supposedly seeing the benefit on a global scale. Like commercial insurance rates fell 6% on average, marking the eighth consecutive quarter of price drops. Commercial property rates alone dropped a full 12%.
Well, and that profitability is heavily tied to what didn't happen, you know. The Digest notes that catastrophe losses for the first half of 2026 were only $46 billion.
Which sounds like a lot, but.
Right. But in the context of global insurance, that is the lowest catastrophe loss burden since 2018. Marsh's Global Index attributes this to abundant underwriting capacity and just really high investment returns.
No, they have plenty of backup cash.
Exactly. The global pool of reinsurance capital, which is the financial backstop that covers the insurance companies themselves, it's essentially overflowing right now.
See, but relying on those global catastrophe numbers right now is like being told the average depth of a river is 3 feet while you are currently drowning in a 10-foot trench.
That's a great way to put it.
Let's look at the localized reality the Digest focuses on, specifically using Wisconsin as a case study here. The global models say the world is calm, but Wisconsin just experienced its most violent, severe weather year since 1984.
Yeah, the local numbers are wild.
They really are. By mid-July of 2026, the state had documented 39 tornadoes. Their average for an entire year is normally 23. And on July 27th, an EF3 tornado ripped through the Fox Valley, packing 140 mile per hour winds, and it just stayed on the ground, carving a path for over 12 miles.
What's fascinating here is the mechanics of global reinsurance capital versus local geographic exposure. The global reinsurance market evaluates risk on a planetary scale. So if there isn't a massive, $100 billion Category 5 hurricane hitting Miami, or a catastrophic earthquake leveling a major metropolitan hub, those global catastrophe budgets remain largely untapped.
So they just don't feel the local pain.
Right. The Digest actually points out a run of 5 consecutive quarters without a single insured loss event above $10 billion anywhere in the world. So global rates drop. But severe convective storms, these highly localized, incredibly violent events like that Fox Valley tornado or just random microbursts of hail, those are accumulating rapidly.
It's death by a thousand cuts.
Exactly. They now account for more than half of all insured catastrophe losses. The global system is flush with cash. But local communities are the ones draining their local insurers and basically picking up the pieces.
And the local weather chaos doesn't show any signs of reverting to the historical mean either.
No, not at all. The current calm in the global catastrophe market is highly precarious. Forecasters, including NOAA, confirmed in the Digest that El Niño conditions have not only arrived, but they carry a 63% chance of reaching very strong intensity by year end.
Wow.
Yeah. U.S. meteorologists are characterizing it as likely the strongest El Niño in 75 years. And historically, El Niño suppresses Atlantic hurricane activity, which, you know, is exactly what keeps those global insurers highly profitable. But it dramatically shifts severe weather and precipitation patterns across the continental United States.
So it's good for the global spreadsheet, but terrible for my neighborhood.
Basically, yes. Modeling localized risk for the second half of 2026 is going to be incredibly difficult for domestic carriers.
And for anyone dealing with the aftermath of those localized, hard-to-model storms, there is a fascinating legal mechanism mentioned in the report to try and manage the fallout.
Oh, the Wisconsin legislation?
Yeah. The Digest highlights a new law, 2025 Wisconsin Act 230, which specifically targets a practice called post-loss assignment of benefits, or AOB. Because after a catastrophic event like that EF3 tornado, you often see out-of-town roofing and restoration contractors swarm a damaged neighborhood.
Right, the storm chasers.
Exactly. They knock on a homeowner's door, hand them a clipboard, and offer to handle the entire insurance claim process if the homeowner just signs a document.
And that document often legally transfers the rights and benefits of the homeowner's insurance policy directly to the contractor, which historically this assignment of benefits loophole has been heavily exploited.
How so? Like, what do they actually do?
Well, unscrupulous contractors inflate the scope of the damage, overcharge for repairs, and if the insurance company pushes back on the inflated invoice, the contractor uses the homeowner's policy rights to sue the insurer.
Oh, well, so they just weaponize the policy.
Exactly. It drives up litigation costs exponentially. Which eventually trickles down into higher premiums for everyone in that state. Act 230 establishes strict consumer guardrails, requiring transparent, itemized descriptions of work, and allowing consumers a window to cancel these contracts. It's meant to prevent predatory contractors from weaponizing the physical chaos of a storm.
That makes total sense. Now, while physical property damage and local storms are dominating one side of the market, the human cost is behaving entirely differently in this report.
Yeah, the casualty data is pretty alarming.
Property rates might be dropping globally, but the cost associated with human injury is aggressively bucking the trend. U.S. casualty rates, which covers liability for injuries to others, rose 11%, and that's completely excluding workers' compensation data.
Right.
And the LexisNexis data on auto claims inside this digest is just staggering. Bodily injury payments grew from representing under 20% of total claim dollars in 2022 to over 26% in 2025.
The frequency is up too.
It is. The actual frequency of bodily injury claims also rose, jumping from 24 to 29 for every 100 property damage claims. But I have to push back on the underlying logic here.
Okay, lay it on me.
Every new car rolling off an assembly line today is essentially a supercomputer on wheels. We have lane departure assistance, automatic emergency braking, pedestrian detection, blind spot sensors. Vehicle safety technology has never been more advanced.
That's entirely true.
So if the cars are actively preventing collisions, or at least, you know, mitigating the impact speeds, why is the severity and frequency of human injury claims jumping that drastically? Are human beings just becoming structurally more fragile? Or are we experiencing a shift in litigation culture?
It's the latter. The industry data points overwhelmingly to the litigation culture. AM Best explicitly identifies a phenomenon known as social inflation as the primary engine driving these casualty losses.
Social inflation.
Yeah. It essentially describes the rising cost of insurance claims that significantly outpace general economic inflation. It is driven almost entirely by the legal environment. We are seeing changing societal attitudes where juries are increasingly willing to award massive punitive verdicts against deep-pocketed corporations or well-insured defendants just to send a societal message.
Okay, so angry juries are part of it.
They are. But the true mechanical driver behind social inflation is the institutionalization of third-party litigation funding.
Wait, so instead of a traditional dynamic where a lawyer just takes a contingency fee, outside financial entities are getting involved in the lawsuit.
Yes, exactly. It transforms a lawsuit from a legal dispute into an investment asset. You have private equity firms and specialized hedge funds pooling capital to finance a plaintiff's lawsuit. In exchange, they take a percentage of the final settlement or verdict.
Oh, wow.
Because the plaintiff's legal team now has massive financial backing, they are less likely to accept a reasonable early settlement. They can afford to drag out the discovery process, hire armies of expert witnesses, and basically take the case to trial, aiming for a nuclear verdict.
So it completely changes the calculus of a crash.
Exactly. A crash that might have reasonably settled for $50,000 a decade ago is now being pushed to a jury trial, resulting in a $500,000 verdict. The vehicle sensors might have reduced the physical impact of the crash, but the legal apparatus surrounding the resulting minor injury has been financially supercharged.
I mean, that is wild. Even if you are an incredibly safe driver with a modern vehicle, your premiums are subsidizing the reality that lawsuits have become an alternative asset class for Wall Street.
That's exactly what's happening.
And speaking of shifting financial burdens, the Digest details a looming crisis for human health coverage as well. Specifically, there is a massive financial cliff approaching for anyone who purchases their own health insurance on the Affordable Care Act marketplace.
Yeah, the subsidy cliff. The enhanced advance premium tax credits, which were significantly expanded back in 2021, expired on December 31st, 2025.
And Congress just let it happen.
They allowed the expansion to lapse. For millions of people, those subsidies were the only mechanism keeping marketplace premiums affordable.
And the fallout from that expiration is already hitting the upcoming rate filings. A Kaiser Family Foundation analysis of the 2027 rate filings shows a median proposed premium increase of 14%. With some insurers proposing base rate increases well above 20%.
And it's important to note the base rate isn't just jumping to cover the lost subsidies. Insurers are having to price in the delayed realization of medical inflation.
Like supply chain stuff.
Supply chain, labor, all of it. Post-pandemic, major hospital systems and pharmaceutical networks negotiated massive multi-year contracts to cover their own labor shortages and rising supply chain costs. Those massive healthcare system contracts are finally trickling down to the health insurers, who are passing them directly to the consumer in the form of a 14 to 20% base rate hike.
So they're getting hit from both sides.
Right. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the danger for the consumer isn't just the 14% headline number. It is how the math practically applies to a subsidized enrollee's monthly budget.
Because it multiplies, right?
Exactly. The premium a marketplace consumer pays is going to be hit by a compounding mathematical effect. First, the gross underlying cost of the insurance policy increases by that 14% or 20% due to medical inflation. Second, the federal subsidy that used to artificially lower that cost either shrinks drastically or vanishes entirely based on the 2025 expiration.
Man, for insurance agents servicing these clients, the renewal conversations are going to be incredibly difficult. The discussion won't be about minor adjustments. It will be about the net out-of-pocket cost doubling or even tripling for some people.
Yeah, it's going to be a shock.
And the people most at risk are the enrollees who simply let their plans auto-renew year after year without reviewing the documentation. They're going to open their January 2027 bank statements and face a shocking automated deduction.
It reinforces the reality that putting your financial risk management on autopilot in a shifting regulatory environment is just highly dangerous.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting. Because the most shocking revelation in this entire 30-page digest has nothing to do with physical property, auto crashes, or healthcare.
No, it's entirely digital.
Right. It is an invisible systemic shift happening deep in the fine print of commercial policies, specifically regarding artificial intelligence. According to the report, over 60 property and casualty insurance groups have formally filed to adopt broad AI exclusions in their commercial policies.
It's a massive shift.
They are implementing standard endorsements, like the Insurance Services Office Form CG4047, which I know is jargon, but this form actively rewrites commercial general liability policies to explicitly exclude any bodily injury, property damage, and personal or advertising injury that arises out of the use of generative artificial intelligence.
And the scale of that exclusion is staggering when juxtaposed against where the industry is actually investing its capital right now.
Yes. Let's talk about the money.
The Digest notes that a massive 95.2% of all InsurTech funding in the first quarter of 2026, totaling $1.55 billion, was allocated exclusively to AI-focused startups. 10 out of the 10 largest venture capital funding rounds in the insurance space were entirely AI-driven.
But hold on. If insurance carriers are excluding generative AI from their commercial policies because it's deemed too risky, aren't they basically admitting their liability product is becoming obsolete?
It definitely looks that way to the consumer.
I mean, if I am a modern business owner, I am likely using AI to draft my marketing copy, run my customer service chatbots, optimize my logistics software. Why would I purchase a liability policy that explicitly ignores the core operating system of my company?
It's a fair question.
Furthermore, these same insurers just posted $61.2 billion in profits, and AM Best explicitly credited their heavy reliance on data analytics and AI for achieving that profitability. They use AI to make billions, they invest billions in AI startups, but they refuse to insure a small business using a basic language model.
The contradiction is glaring, I'll give you that. But underwriters are reacting to a structural threat known as an aggregation risk.
Which means what, exactly?
Well, traditional insurance relies heavily on the law of large numbers and the statistical independence of risks. If a local grocery store client has a customer slip and fall in aisle three, that is an isolated, independent event. It doesn't trigger a claim at a hardware store three states away. Generative AI fundamentally breaks that independence.
Oh, I see. So a single failure in an AI model isn't isolated. It scales infinitely.
Precisely. Imagine a widely adopted generative AI tool is used by 10,000 different businesses to draft vendor contracts or generate public-facing customer advice. If that central AI model hallucinates a piece of defamatory information or generates a structurally flawed legal clause, you don't face a single localized claim.
You face thousands of them.
You face tens of thousands of simultaneous claims across entirely different industries, geographic regions, and policy types. A single flaw could trigger millions of claims instantaneously across a single carrier's portfolio.
Because everyone is using the same underlying engine.
Exactly. Traditional liability policies were drafted decades ago. They never contemplated a single piece of software creating global simultaneous liability. So, faced with an unquantifiable aggregation risk, carriers rely on their ultimate defense mechanism, total exclusion.
Wow. And, of course, whenever the traditional market kicks a risk out the front door, a specialized market opens a side door to sell it back to you at a premium. The Digest highlights that a new standalone insurance market is rapidly forming to fill this exact void. For instance, a Lloyds-backed company called Testudo has launched specifically to sell the AI coverage that traditional carriers are currently stripping out. It mirrors the early days of the cyber insurance market perfectly, remove the risk from the general policy, force the business to acknowledge the gap, and then sell them a specialized standalone product.
It is the exact same evolutionary playbook we saw with cyber liability. However, the Digest reveals that the modern cyber insurance market is currently behaving in a way that defies fundamental economic logic.
Right, the paradox.
Yeah, we are seeing a phenomenon that analysts are calling the cyber paradox.
Because U.S. cyber insurance pricing has consistently dropped for 8 consecutive quarters. The coverage keeps getting cheaper for consumers.
Yeah.
But simultaneously, the loss ratio, the percentage of collected premiums that insurers are actually paying out to cover cyber claims, has climbed to 53.
Which is incredibly high for that line.
The Digest notes this is the highest loss ratio the cyber market has seen since the massive ransomware spike during the COVID era. Third-party cyber claims alone are up 30%. Insurers are paying out significantly more money to cover rising cyber attacks, yet they are charging their clients less money for the coverage.
And that dynamic is actuarially unsustainable. AM Best cautions that a market correction is inevitable. The paradox is currently being driven by aggressive market competition and a structural split in how the coverage is sold.
How so? Like, who's selling it?
You have surplus lines carriers offering robust, standalone cyber policies, and they're competing against standard admitted carriers who offer cheap, rudimentary cyber endorsements just tacked onto a general business policy. Many carriers are intentionally underpricing their cyber products simply to grab market share, hoping to offset the losses with their highly profitable property or general liability lines.
But the Digest warns that business owners often mistake that cheap little endorsement for comprehensive coverage. And a minor add-on lacks the HICEP limits, the dedicated incident response teams, and the ransomware negotiation services that a standalone policy provides.
Exactly. You get what you pay for.
Right. The practical takeaway for you, the listener, is that if your business requires cyber insurance or you need to increase your existing limits, this bizarre pricing paradox has created a temporary buyer's market. But that window is closing rapidly. Once the broader market refuses to absorb those rising loss ratios, the cheap capacity will dry up and cyber rates will inevitably skyrocket.
You cannot defy the gravity of a rising loss ratio forever. Eventually, the capital backing those policies demands a return on investment.
That makes sense. Okay, we have discussed highly complex aggregation models, global cyber paradoxes, and the systemic risks of artificial intelligence. I want to shift our focus to the final section of today's deep dive, which moves from the most advanced technological risks in the world to the most analog historical risk in the industry.
Human audacity.
Even with oceans of big data, predictive analytics, and sophisticated AI underwriting models, brazen fraud remains a massive variable.
It really does. The digest includes a section categorized as the Odd Claims Corner, detailing a remarkable case study involving a ring of police officers in Maryland who staged elaborate car thefts purely to force their insurance companies to pay off their personal vehicle financing.
And the mechanics of the fraud are almost comical in their simplicity. In one instance, an officer drove his own Chevrolet Tahoe into the woods just off a state highway. He stripped the vehicle of valuable parts, abandoned it, and then utilized his position to officially file the police report regarding his own stolen vehicle.
Unbelievable.
Based entirely on that official document, USAA paid out $38,670. And it gets worse. Another individual in the ring owned a Jaguar XKR. He parked the luxury car behind a local shopping center and then paid a local police chief a $350 bribe to have the vehicle towed and intentionally vandalized into a total loss.
For $350.
Yes. Another officer involved in the conspiracy filed the fictitious incident report, and Liberty Mutual paid out over $17,000.
This raises an important question regarding the epistemological nature of truth in underwriting, honestly. In the insurance industry, an official police report has traditionally been treated as the unquestionable gold standard of documentation. It acts as the ultimate verification of an event.
Right. If the police say it happened, it happened.
But the explicit lesson here is that a police report merely documents a claim. It does not inherently prove a loss actually occurred. The document itself can be entirely manufactured by the very authority trusted to investigate the crime.
And the crazy thing is, the ring wasn't taken down by a sweeping internal affairs investigation or police oversight. They got caught when they attempted to stage the theft of an Infiniti sedan. They hid the vehicle in an apartment garage and physically swapped its license plates with tags registered to a completely different car.
And that's where the tech finally caught up with them.
Yep. JICO flagged the claim, investigated the physical evidence, and ultimately denied it as fraudulent. It was the insurer's own fraud referral department and internal data analytics that unraveled the conspiracy, completely bypassing the compromised local police apparatus entirely.
It serves as a necessary reminder that while we focus on macroeconomic trends and technological aggregation risks, localized human behavior remains the ultimate wild card capable of defeating even the most trusted verification systems.
It really is. So what does this all mean? We have navigated an immense amount of data from a highly technical report today.
We covered a lot of ground.
We did. And whether you are a business owner reviewing your commercial liabilities or consumer budgeting for the upcoming year, 2026 is definitively the year of reading the fine print.
I completely agree. The underlying theme across every section of this digest is that surface level assumptions are currently failing.
100%. The global property numbers indicate a calm, highly profitable market, but localized severe weather in places like Wisconsin is rendering those global averages utterly meaningless to the communities actually experiencing the devastation. Your ACA health subsidies are quietly vanishing, meaning your net out-of-pocket costs could spike even if the headline rate only moves slightly.
Right.
And perhaps most importantly, if your business utilizes generative AI in any capacity, you need to audit your commercial liability policies immediately, because a new standardized exclusion may have just voided your coverage for the exact tools you rely on every single day.
Which leaves us with a profound paradox to consider as we look toward the future of the industry.
What's that?
Well, we have established that insurance carriers are aggressively excluding generative AI from their clients' policies because they deem it an unquantifiable systemic aggregation risk.
Right.
Yet, AmDesk credited these exact same insurers' historic $61.2 billion in profits to their own heavy reliance on data analytics and algorithmic underwriting. It makes you wonder, if an insurance conglomerate is relying on its own internal artificial intelligence to underwrite complex policies, set global rates, and process millions of claims, and their internal AI makes a catastrophic systemic error in its logic, who is insuring the insurer?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It is a massive systemic blind spot that the global financial market has not yet been forced to face.
But that is a terrifying and perfect thought to leave on. The algorithm is truly only as good as its connection to reality. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Summer 2026 Insurance Industry Digest. Stay curious, watch out for the localized hail, and seriously go check the fine print on your renewal notices. We will catch you next time.